is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Are you annoyingly inattentive? Do you watch a movie and then ask a zillion questions because you weren't paying attention? Do people ask, how do you sleep at night? Then you should get a mattress from Mattress Firm. They can help anyone sleep. Head to Mattress Firm's best sale of the year, the Labor Day sale. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 plus a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. Georgia high school shooting. I'm Michelle Franzen. New details about the deadly shooting at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia. Multiple law enforcement briefed on the situation tell ABC News that the gunman is in custody and believed to be a 14-year-old student. Four people are dead, 20 others injured. The extent of their injuries still unknown. Vice President Kamala Harris at a rally in Hampton, New Hampshire, spoke out against gun violence and offered condolences.
Our hearts are with all the students, the teachers, and their families, of course. And we are grateful to the first responders and the law enforcement that were on the scene. But this is just a senseless tragedy.
Investigators are now searching areas associated with the gunman. His identity remains unknown at this time. Gwendolyn Cook said she has three grandchildren who attend the school, and she thanks God that he protected her grandkids. Other students and parents reunited after the lockdown was lifted. This is ABC News. Officials in the Democratic Republic of Congo announced the country is expected to receive its first delivery of mpox vaccine doses tomorrow. It's grappling with an outbreak there, a second delivery expected later this week. New numbers from the government showing fewer companies are hiring.
The Labor Department says there were 7.7 million job openings in the U.S. in July. That's down from June when there were 7.9 million help wanted signs out. Openings have fallen sharply in healthcare and in state and local government, but there are more jobs open in manufacturing, professional services, engineering, and accounting firms. There were slightly more layoffs last month, but the numbers are still healthy. A sign that companies, for now, are intent on holding on to their workers. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Despite slowing sales of electric vehicles in the U.S., Hyundai has rolled out the 2025 versions of its Ioniq 5 electric SUV that'll be made in Georgia. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams September holiday sale and get 30% off paints and stains from August 30th through September 9th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. A Wisconsin lawmaker wants the Green Bay Packers and the NFL to reconsider their game in Brazil. Republican State Representative John Mako hopes the league will choose carefully when selecting other foreign countries to host games in the future.
I think they would want to make sure that they are entertaining a country that would have the shared values and principles that they would have. I think it's stunning to me that if just for the sake of market share, just for the sake of expanded TV viewership and ad revenue that they would be willing to do business anywhere.
Mako cites several issues, including censorship, unrest, and escalating violence for why the game should be moved back to the U.S. The Packers are scheduled to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Friday night in Sao Paulo. President Joe Biden will be in western Wisconsin Thursday. The White House says the president's stop in Westby, just outside of La Crosse, will have Biden highlighting his policies to lower prescription drug costs and encourage renewable energy and advanced manufacturing. Biden's trip will be his first to Wisconsin since stepping down from the Democratic presidential nomination. He's made several previous visits to the state already this year. Kids around Wisconsin are back in school this week.
And Wisconsin law enforcement agencies are asking drivers to keep those kids in mind by being alert and cautious, putting down the phone, obeying posted speed limits, and sharing the road with young pedestrians. According to research by the National Safety Council, most of the children who lose their lives in school bus-related incidents are 4 to 7 years old, and they're walking. In addition to stopping for buses with their stop arm extended, motorists should always stop for a school patrol officer or crossing guard holding up a stop sign. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. High pressure system continues to hold today, giving us sunny skies and still summery highs flirting with 80 degrees. And tomorrow, a cold front drops through the state, bringing showers and maybe a thunderstorm. Either way, behind it, high temperatures fall to the mid-60s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 76.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along with us as we talk about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on our program today, we're going to have the September episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association in segment two. We're going to be talking about that ag trade deficit. A lot of concerns there about the overall ag economy and more. And we're going to be focusing in on that ag trade deficit here on the show this month. We'll talk with Nancy Martinez, NCGA Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology, and Matt Poe, a Market Development Action Team member from Mississippi for the NCGA. They'll be joining us here in segment two. In segment three, we're going to talk with Ann Schwagel for the Minnesota Farmers Union, their vice president, get an update on harvest. And of course, we're watching things like the Farm Bill. We have the election in front of us, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be talking some policy and more with Ann coming up here in segment three. Then we'll have a look at news headlines coming up here at the end of the show, including Congress getting back to work. Can they get appropriations, farm bill, et cetera, done? That remains to be seen. So all that more coming up here today on AOA. Let's kick off the show. Let's take a look at what's happening in the markets and more specifically in the livestock trade here post-Labor Day. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale joins us. Kyle, good to hear from you again. How's things out in Nebraska, sir?
Oh, we're dry out here at this area here in the central part of the state. Could use a little bit of rain. A lot of silage cutters are moving. Came back from Chicago here over the weekend yesterday. You get down along Interstate 80, there's a lot of seed corn that's been taken off and just a lot of silage cutters moving.
All right. Well, I know we're getting to that onslaught, that gut slot of harvest here across a wide area of the Corn Belt, too, for row crops. And so I'll be watching that closely. And, you know, Kyle, the last couple of days, the grain market's been rallying. What about the livestock trade? Kind of quiet, subdued here midweek. We're past that last big grilling holiday of the summer with Labor Day behind us here. What's your perception of this cattle market here as we enter the month of September?
Very good question. As we enter the month of September, historically, September has been somewhat a quiet month for cattle to trade, although It was not very quiet here yesterday. We did see this October contract. A lot of folks are still hanging their hat on the October contract and probably should here for a few more days. But starting here next week, we've got the index fund roll. So that's going to be taking place here, you know, getting out of the October contracts, moving out to those deferred issues. And so I'm kind of watching that December board. October did run up there yesterday to that 180, 180.12 area. And it just kind of seems to be a glass ceiling right there. Can't quite get through that 180 mark on a closing basis. So we did find some resistance there in the front month there, the lead contract. December live cattle, they got bumped up against a little bit of resistance here yesterday too from that old high of a 179.12 we made back on the 27th of August. Yesterday's high was 179.25. So I'd like to see us take that out. And then our next area of upside target is going to be around that 182 area based off the charts here. And that's going to kind of coincide with some moving averages. We got up there on the 40-day moving average on 182. We got some stuff up there we could potentially go back and check. But we're just not seeming to get a lot of push behind some of these rallies. So I think that there's some nervousness yet behind the boxed beef market. Albeit it's going to be a, you know, kind of like a window shade here over the next week, I think, up and down here, kind of getting some post-holiday buying done here, some coverage, you know, just filling up the reserves after this holiday. But was out, like I said, out in Chicago over the weekend. I was surprised the amount of ground beef that was still on the shelves, the amount of shelves. Folks just kind of switched those cheaper cuts, you know, chicken and pork. And it looks to me, based off historical numbers, you've got to kind of get this cutout, the choice cutout, down under 300 in order to get that consumer to really open up their pocketbook here and to go back towards the beef.
Something I found interesting as well, that's a great point, and I think maybe some of this speaks to that retail demand. For quite a while, it's felt like, Kyle, we've seen the stocks and the outside markets and the livestock trade kind of work together in conjunction. I feel like you could lay a Dow chart over a live cattle chart and they look pretty identical, but I feel like we're starting to see a little divergence between the two here as we get into the fall months. What do you think?
I'll agree with that. We have seen some of that divergence here. There was a few days here mid-August when you did see those big swings down there in the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ. And it wasn't just cattle that got affected. It was the entire commodity complex that was affected on those days. So that's a little bit of a concern there. At any point in time, if you see a massive sell-off, you know, rear its ugly head again, cattle are susceptible. They're susceptible to any black swan, and that could happen again. But something that's I've been watching here that's been helping, you should seasonally see heating oil and distillates sort of work higher as far as getting into the fall and winter months here. But that's been working lower, so that may help us as far as relieving some of the consumer expenditure. We just got out of a hot stretch here, so paying off that AC bill here, that's going to be coming due here in the next couple of days. But if we can keep this heating oil down, that's going to help things out as far as consumer spending there. So, you know, pretty soon, I'd say 30, 40, 50 days, depending on where you're at, you're going to be looking to turn on a furnace here. I know I hate to say that, but we are into September already, so how's the consumer going to spend their money if you've got petroleum products that turn around and rally here as far as like your diesel fuel and gasoline and stuff like that? They're going to be forced to make that decision. Do we buy beef or do we heat the house? So we've got that issue. And then we've also got the holidays coming on here. We're probably another 30 to 45 days away from getting any good holiday buying as far as the choice cutouts go for your Christmas parties and whatnots and your holiday gatherings. But then you've got to look at it on the other side, too, the amount of consumer credit card debt that's out there. Of course, you can't go, and as a disclaimer, you really can't go anywhere hardly without using a credit card or a debit card or something like that anymore. Very, very few places anymore take cash the way it seems. So mm-hmm. The amount of consumer credit card debt out there. But you've got Christmas coming up here in a couple months, and that's something that's on the back of my mind. They're going to be, buying Christmas presents or buying ribeyes. So I'm hoping they buy ribeyes, but that price is going to have to get down there a little bit more in order for them to buy them.
Got about 60 seconds here, Kyle. Any risk management thoughts, anything you'd want to reiterate to producers listening in right now?
So the price of these feeders going in the yard are very expensive. And I think that a lot of people have looked at some of these insurance programs out there and they said, this just ain't for me for what they cost. I think that, you know, the volatility has really, really gone down here in the option side of things. So if you're biased on the market here as far as live cattle or feeder cattle, the option market has cheapened up here as far as volatility goes. So I would strongly, you know, look at those as, you know, something that might work in your portfolio as far as risk management goes. Also, I'd keep an eye on both the corn and bean markets. Corn, you really need to get this thing above 410 in order to get some legs underneath it and go, maybe see some more short covering. And soybeans really need to take out that 1020 to 1025 area on a closing basis to really get them up and moving. So the longer we sit up here and we keep hitting our head up here and can't get through it, that's going to become stronger resistance.
Good thoughts, as always. Appreciate the conversation. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. Thanks for joining us and talking the markets here today on AOA, Kyle. We'll look forward to having you back on again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Kyle Bumstead there with Allendale joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we are going to have the September episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We'll talk with NCGA's Nancy Martinez and Matt Poe. We're going to be looking at that ag trade deficit. A lot of concerns there. We're going to dive into it next here. You're listening to AOA, Agriculture of America.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, Farm Radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along with us here today. It is time now for the September episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association as we discuss the agriculture trade deficit forecast. Joining us this month for the conversation about that, first, she's NCGA Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology. Nancy Martinez is with us here today. Nancy, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And also joining us, he is an MDAT member from Mississippi. That's the Market Development Action Team. Matt Poe is with us. Matt, it's good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, let's dive in and let's talk about this ag trade deficit. I know the latest outlook for U.S. ag trade reports, USDA projecting a pretty substantial U.S. trade deficit in 2025. Nancy, let's talk about that. Set this up for us. What exactly are we looking at for this U.S. trade deficit?
Yeah, so just to back up a little bit, the USDA releases these quarterly reports on U.S. ag trade. So the latest one came out August 27th with some not-so-great news for ag exports. So there's actually a projection that for fiscal year 2025, the ag deficit will be $42.5 billion. So that means that with agriculture, we are importing way more than we are exporting. Specifically, our ag exports are forecasted to be around $170 billion, but the imports are supposed to be somewhere around $212 billion. So that's where we get that $42.5 billion deficit number.
What's driving this, Nancy? I mean, talk about that. Is it lower prices? Is it something else? What exactly is driving this deficit?
Yeah, so there's definitely a couple different things. Low commodity prices are definitely part of the reason for it. Specifically for soybeans, corn, cotton, beef as well. And so this trend kind of makes the deficit look pretty large. But also, there's lower ag exports to China. So there's $100 million less in ag exports to China that's driving this number. And I will talk, too, about the trend of this ag deficit. For last fiscal year, we also had about a $30 billion ag deficit. And now projecting for this upcoming fiscal year, a $42 billion deficit. So we're definitely kind of going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. I want to talk more about expanded market access and things like that here and how we can work our way out of this hole. Matt, I want to bring you in here, though, to get your perspective. When you hear that we're looking at a record $42.5 billion ag trade deficit next year, what are your thoughts when you hear that as a farmer and as a member of NCGA's Market Development Action Team?
It is very, very concerning. I don't know anywhere else to put it. We have a huge crop coming in, corn, soybeans, cotton, everything's looking really good, and we need somewhere to go for this, especially our corn. I mean, this is something we got to figure out, and we got to get something going right in our direction.
Well, I think about how trade impacts American farmers, and we think about market access. Nancy, I mean, how do we grow more global demand? We're trying to grow different things domestically as well, but what about that global picture? I mean, talk about that for us a little bit.
Absolutely. So there are some programs that do the good work to sell the good story of American commodities. So these programs are the Market Access Program and the Foreign Market Development Program authorized in the Farm Bill. And NCGA is currently seeking a significant increase for those programs because there's such a high return on investment of about 24 to 1. If we boost those programs and give them a little bump to kind of go out there and secure those global partners, I think that would really help turn the tide more in our direction.
Well, I know as well, you mentioned the Farm Bill, and I know Congress, a lot of farm groups, Nancy, have been asking Congress for help. They've been expressing their concerns. We've seen letters about the trade deficit, about the need to get a new farm bill, things like that. So there's been a lot of back and forth communication here to try and help out this problem that we're facing, hasn't there?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, getting the farm bill done would provide a lot of certainty to our customers, to our growers in the United States. And I also want to share some good news, that we have room for improvement here. We have a good quality product to sell, a lot of it, as Matt said. And the United States has a good reputation as one of these, very reputable sellers of American commodities. So there's a lot of good things going in our favor. And I do think boosting these MAP and FMD programs will be beneficial in the long run.
Matt, as you work on the NCGA's Market Development Action Team as well, talk about some of the things that MDAT is doing to increase export market opportunities for farmers beyond, as Nancy was talking, MAP, FMD, programs like that. RAP is another one. Talk about what MDAT is doing to try and help out here as well.
We try to be very open-minded. We try to find some way to move this grain out of the United States. It doesn't matter to us if it's on the hoof or it's in a barge. We just want it to go. We want it to be traded. But we're open-minded. Anywhere we can kind of build on something we already have, that's great. If we can find a new market, that's also great. We kind of went through the trade wars back in the late teens, and now we don't have quite as importance on trade as we wished it was. And we're looking for anything. We're open-minded and trying to find something.
Well, I think about this, Matt, and you mentioned, both of you mentioned the big crops that we have on tap here for this fall. And, at the end of the day, I mean, Matt, American farmers, we've gotten pretty good at our jobs, and that's why we have a big crop here. And maybe, pat yourself on the back. It's part of the reason why we're having to navigate through this, because we're good at what we do, right?
So that's 100% right. There's one thing I can control on my farm, and that's what varieties I pick, how I grow it, the fertilizer put on it. I'm really good at growing crops. I'm not so good at marketing it. And by marketing it, we don't have a strong market. We need that trade to kind of use up that extra grain we have, because we have gotten really, really good at growing grain, and we grow good grain, good quality grain, that I think the other countries need to realize and take advantage of.
Nancy, as we're looking at this, and again, MDAT, some of their opportunities that they're trying to help create that Matt was mentioning, and you mentioned the various programs, MAP, FMD, et cetera. Your thoughts with, how this all continues to impact American farmers? I mean, let's think about, obviously, it's a situation where we hear a $42.5 billion trade deficit. That's concerning to rural America, and it's just going to be a matter of trying to navigate our way out of this, I guess, is how I would frame it up. What would you say to that?
I think that's exactly right. We are always going to be strong advocates and proponents for more market access, and right now there is definitely room to improve. I think, the USDA was standing up the regional access, regional ag promotion program, the RAP funds. That's a great way to start exploring some of those kind of untapped markets, such as in Africa, other parts of Southeast Asia. But I think there's always room to grow. The administration, we are always going to be advocates for them to, find some market access provisions that can really make a difference for American commodities. We've got other competitors that are actually getting more and more sort of market share around the globe, competitors like Brazil. So, we just need to encourage our government and Congress to set up those channels so we can, properly utilize them. Because like Matt said, we've got a high quality product and a lot of it.
Got to diversify our export channels, to your point there, Nancy. For folks tuning in, how can they help make a difference? Nancy, I mean, what are some things that listeners can do to try and make their voices heard here?
Absolutely. The listeners and the consumers and the constituents all are great tools to weigh in with your policymakers, so they understand the impacts of some of these trade discussions. I think there's sometimes a separation, that doesn't really exist in my mind, but, between what goes on in Washington, D.C. and what goes on in rural communities. And we definitely need to kind of make sure those connections are in place. These folks can remind policymakers that trade is important and trade does impact rural communities, very, very acutely.
Well, I know folks can go to ncga.com to learn more. We're going to be talking trade here through the end of the year on the monthly episodes for the Monthly Grind every first Wednesday of the month. with that. Nancy Martinez with NCGA, Matt Poe with NCGA as well. Nancy, Matt, thank you both for joining us. Great discussion here today. Appreciate you being on.
Thank you for having us.
And that is going to do it for this episode of the Monthly Grind here for the month of September on AOA, Agriculture of America. Again, ncga.com for more information. You can listen to past episodes there as well. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Ann Schwagel from the Minnesota Farmers Union as we continue here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. Listening to a...
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Double-digit losses in the milk WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 38 to 22.87, November down 25 to 22.53, December down 17 to 21.77, January down 13 to 20.60. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, they were mostly lower as the market didn't really possess enough support to take on the resistance levels in the live cattle markets, even though the box beef prices were higher due to the drop in live cattle. Feeder cattle then also moved mostly lower as well as the trade just didn't like what was happening in the live cattle markets. Cash markets haven't developed yet either. Hog markets, meanwhile, were at those resistance levels as well, and they couldn't push through, even though there is some increased pork demand being reported. But midday pork cutout values did move lower, and that also helped with the sell-off. October live cattle down 5 cents to 179.22. September feeder cattle down $1.75 to 239.62. October hogs down 95 cents to 81.57. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher on the day. Most of this is apparently commodity fund short covering. The charts have turned upward, and that's encouraging the funds who are short to buy back portions of those short positions. September corn up 4 to 390.5. September beans up 9 to 10.06. September wheat up 13.25 to 565.25.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue here today, let's talk about what is going on surrounding the farm bill, the election in front of us, a lot of different things on tap here for the next couple of months ahead as we get into fall. Joining us for a conversation, it's been a little while since we've been able to talk with her. Happy to have her join us. She is the Vice President for the Minnesota Farmers Union. Ann Schwengel is with us. Ann, how are you? It's good to have you back on the show with us.
Hey, it's great to be back, Jesse. Thanks for having me. We're doing okay here in Minnesota.
Well, that's good to hear. I was going to ask, I know it's been depending on what part of the state you've been in Minnesota, it's been an interesting year, weather-wise, et cetera. That's probably putting it nicely.
Right. Yeah, you sound like a Minnesotan, actually. interesting in the most Minnesotan way. Yeah, it has been an interesting year. This is the first time, you know, this spring we were all cheering when it was the first time that the entire state was out of a drought since 2020, right? That was really exciting. But then the rains kept coming and kept coming and, you know, the tap wouldn't turn off, really. Now we're thankfully, you know, right in time for harvest starting to dry down a little bit, which is good.
I was going to ask, I mean, how are things looking throughout parts of the state? What are you seeing in your backyard? What are you hearing from folks? I know some spring wheat harvest is underway in the northwest part of the state and into North Dakota and the valley. But we got quarter beans getting ready to come off here in the next couple of weeks. You know, how are things looking, Ann?
I'm in the southern end of the Red River Valley, and the bean crop looks pretty good where people were able to get it in. There's, you know, quite a few prevent plant acres around this year in Minnesota, but, and the corn just looks pretty darn variable, depending on if, you know, you had any nutrient loss from the rains and when you were able to get into the field. I'm excited about the bean crop or the opportunity for the bean crop. The spring wheat harvest, I've heard from our members around the state, you know, volumes are pretty good, but falling numbers are what's banging people up when they take it into the elevator.
Well, we'll see what happens here as we get harvest underway. I know I'd say variable is the key term to use across really the entire Corn Belt. Some areas look really, really good. Some areas not so much. Well, let's start our attention to some policy issues. And one that caught my eye here that I thought was pertinent, and that's why I reached out to get you on the show. Obviously, the presidential election is in front of us. It has been very wild and tumultuous. That's no secret. I saw this note, though. The Minnesota Farmers Union, the full board, has opposed Project 2025 proposals as they relate to farm programs. Now, the Project 2025 has been tied to the GOP to some degree. And without getting too deeply into that, why has MFU come out and opposed these farm proposals in Project 2025? Talk about this a little bit.
Sure. Our full board is made up of farmers from across the state of Minnesota, about 60 of them, who met in August here. And, you know, they wanted to make a statement that the proposals that are laid out by the Heritage Foundation, which is primarily, you know, a conservative think tank that, you know, according to their own website, say, you know, 2/3 of the Heritage's proposals were, you know, embraced by the previous administration, you know, within their first year. So, you know, like, I know there's been some distancing between, you know, the Project 2025, because it's been getting some pretty big headlines, right, from other aspects of it. But of course, it's like a 900-page document. So, you know, the stuff about ag sometimes gets lost, as we all know that, you know, ag news sometimes gets lost in the shuffle with the big, more eye-catching headlines. But our members and our board felt like it was really important to highlight, you know, what they're actually calling for in this proposal, in this document, this roadmap for what to do. They want to, in their own document, calls to repeal the ARC and PLC coverage and cut support for crop insurance. They want to repeal the federal sugar program. And as somebody who lives in, you know, the southern end of the Red River Valley, that'd be disastrous for our for our sugar beet farmers. They want to eliminate CRP and separate out the nutrition program from the farm bill, which I think if anyone's been involved in policy around the farm bill, knows that that's how we get a farm bill done. If you don't want a farm bill, then you pull out the nutrition program. They want to, you know, eliminate any kind of investments that were made in the IRA and in the infrastructure and jobs bill from the last session. They want to eliminate any kind of investments in climate resilience. All of these kind of really big safety net programs that family farmers rely on, you know, and it doesn't really matter about your size or scale, you know, anything that has to do with FSA, they want to kind of just delete and also like revoke the Commodity Credit Corporation from pull that out of USDA's ability to use. It just seems like these proposals are really disastrous for family farmers.
It's quite interesting. And I like you said, ag kind of gets buried in a 900-page document like this. So I was interested to see MFU bring some of this up. And again, it's not technically tied with one candidate or another. As you mentioned, it is kind of a conservative-leaning think tank, the Heritage Foundation. But it's quite interesting. And I see this on the backdrop, and that we don't have a farm bill, of course. We're working on going into year 7 of a 5-year farm bill at this point. I know next week the National Farmers Union is going to have their fly-in in D.C., and the prospects are not looking good for a new 5-year farm bill right now. I mean, what's the latest you're hearing? What are you expecting to talk with legislators about next week on Capitol Hill in terms of getting this farm bill done?
Yeah, you know, we know that the congressional landscape is what it is right now. You know, we're pushing still, though, to get a farm bill done, potentially in the lame duck session. I think Farmers Union knows that if we let it go into the next Congress, we'll have a lot more work in front of us to educate new members of Congress about why it's important that we have a farm bill, that, you know, the farm bill is strong for family farmers. And that, you know, it means that farmers can't wait, right? We need to get a family farmer focused farm bill done now. And so we're working to push, you know, increased price discovery and transparency in livestock markets. And that means strengthening the enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act, strengthening the farm safety net. That is obviously, you know, as we're talking about the weather here in Minnesota, that farm safety net becomes more and more important every year, right? Farmers rely on that when we swing wildly from drought years, 3 years of drought here in Minnesota to too much moisture, the farm safety net becomes really critical. That means supporting crop insurance, allowing dual enrollment of ARC and PLC, and then also addressing kind of climate change and soil, improving soil health, kind of keeping those investments from the Inflation Reduction Act in our NRCS programs that support voluntary conservation, as well as, and you know, supporting biofuels infrastructure, mm-hmm. and keeping, you know, that clean value-added renewable energy here made in the United States.
I think about this, Ann, as we're closing in on the commercial break here in just a couple minutes. I look at everything this way with the farm bill situation, the elections coming up, whether it's presidential, congressional, local, state, et cetera. I personally go down the middle when it comes to politics. I have feelings on both sides of the aisle. I try to be neutral to everything and try to look objectively at everything. And I think that's what I would say that I hope folks do for this fall election, particularly when it comes to ag programs and things like that. I think it's important to be informed during this election cycle and be talking to your legislators about issues important to you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, and make sure that they're you know, align with your values of supporting, you know, strong, vibrant rural communities and making sure that, you know, we can continue to do what we do best, and that's growing the food, fiber, and fuel for our country and the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And always appreciate you being on and your insight. And I know folks can always find more as well online at mfu.org. That's the website for the Minnesota Farmers Union, mfu.org. And if I don't get to talk to you beforehand, I hope you and your neighbors and everyone up there in the valley have a safe and happy harvest season. And we'll keep our eyes out on this DC legislation, see if we can get a new farm bill done. Hopefully, fingers crossed, right? And we can get
Sounds
it done
good.
Sooner
Thanks
than
for having
later.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great to have you with us. Ann Schwegel, Vice President for the Minnesota Farmers Union, joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Ag News headlines. We'll have some more thoughts on the potential of getting this farm bill done. One ag senator is not too keen on the idea that this farm bill could get done, and it's probably going to have to see another one-year extension tied in with a continuing resolution to keep the government funded. We're going to talk about that. Also, the soybean acreage in Argentina could be increasing. We're going to get to Ag News headlines. Give it up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But with ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology, you can find the needle in the haystack. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready.
and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, Congress has a lot on its plate with few work weeks remaining this year, including keeping the government fully funded and figuring out what to do with a farm bill. Welcome back to AOA. Thanks for sticking with us here today. Well, of course, Congress coming back from the August recess with very few work weeks on the calendar remaining here before the November election. Ryan Yates, Managing Director of Government Affairs with the American Farm Bureau, talks about a couple of the big projects Congress needs to deal with.
The first issue, and that's government funding. So the fiscal year ends September the 30th. Congress will need to either kick the can to the lame duck session after the election, or they could kick the can until early in the new year. Congress is late to the game when it comes to completing a farm bill. They've already kicked the can once. They failed to get it done last year, and they've continued to fail in finding a path forward.
He says farmers and ranchers can't afford for Congress to wait to solve these issues.
Appropriations, federal funding, it's a must-do. Everybody knows it has to be done. Continuing to kick the can is a sad state of affairs. When it comes to the farm bill, the world looks a whole lot different in 2024 than it does in 2018. If you look at the state of the economy, the rural economy is in distress.
And Yates says farmers and ranchers are typically good storytellers, and they need to tell that story to their elected officials.
One of the things that farmers and ranchers can continue to do is reach out, talk to their members of Congress, get to know their staff, be heard. Congress, I can tell you, they will do nothing if they're not pushed. The only way to get Congress to do anything is to make them uncomfortable. Take advantage of that. Reach out to their offices. Get to know them. Reach out. Be vocal.
Again, that's Ryan Yates with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Well, Congress may take the only farm bill action politically possible this month, which is to extend the old one again. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley describes a futile farm bill situation in the Ag Committee.
In the Senate, we can't reach an agreement that reflects what the House has done in a bipartisan way to make sure that we have the next five-year farm bill reflect the inflation in agriculture that is obvious since 2018.
Inflation in fuel, fertilizer, seed chemicals, repair parts, and interest rates. But a fixed pot of farm bill money and limited access to funds outside the bill has led to a political stalemate.
There's a 20% increase in the House bill. The Democrats don't want to give a 20% increase in the Senate, and that's what keeps the bill from passing.
Senate Ag Democrats, like some on House Ag, oppose taking money from food stamps to boost farm supports. They argue SNAP is crucial for many, and reprogramming it has never been done before.
Thus, Grassley's prediction when government funding and the current one-year farm bill extension expire later this month.
As happened so many times in the last 50 years, we do another one-year extension, and I think that's going to happen in the continuing resolution on before September 30th.
Now, Grassley says despite failing to pass a new five-year Senate Farm Bill, retiring Senate Ag Chair Democrat Debbie Stabenow of Michigan leaves behind a strong legacy of farm legislation, something she was leery of losing with a food stamp compromise. Now, top House Ag Democrat David Scott is doubling down in his bid to undo GOP SNAP reforms in the committee-passed Republican Farm Bill. On the House side, he amplified in an Atlanta Journal-Constitution op-ed his call in the May Farm Bill markup. Scott marked the 60th anniversary of SNAP, declaring it the most effective anti-poverty tool, and as one he said in May that the GOP bill would weaken to the detriment of vulnerable Americans.
This legislation before us today ensures that $30 billion in SNAP benefits will not flow to low-income households with children, to our senior citizens, our American people with disabilities, our courageous veterans.
But weeks later, Scott acknowledged the GOP argument that farmers need more help also.
Commodity prices are not keeping up with higher input and credit costs. That is where we are and why we need to really address this issue to help our farmers.
But now Scott from election battleground Georgia is back in attack mode. He charges Republicans want to turn the clock back on SNAP reforms in the 2018 Farm Bill and reduce SNAP benefit levels. House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania counters that inflationary adjustments to SNAP would continue, but not discretionary secretarial increases. As for criticism of moving funds across titles to help farmers,
I assume it needs reminding of contemporary farm bills where farmers were stripped of billions of dollars in exchange for additional funds in nutrition.
Now heading into the last few weeks of pre-election legislating, both sides seem to have hardened their positions, with the traditional food farm coalition unable to reunite. Well, global demand for U.S. soybeans has fallen sharply as international buyers remain discouraged by the strong dollar, slowing economic growth, and uncertainty over the direction of U.S. trade policy in an election year. Export sales of new crop soybeans are historically low as the 24-25 marketing year began on September 1. A new report says tailwinds could emerge to rejuvenate demand for U.S. soybeans in the upcoming marketing year. Cobank's Knowledge Exchange issued a brief saying the pace of early season soybean export sales historically has a low correlation with the final marketing year export numbers. With a record U.S. soybean harvest expected this fall, continued weakness in prices will likely attract new export demand. Factors that could increase soybean exports could include a smaller than expected South American soybean harvest, a bump in EU demand for soybeans from non-forested acreage, falling U.S. interest rates, and a Chinese economic recovery that could fuel higher demand. Now, speaking of South America, Argentina could see the largest expansion of soybean planting in more than a decade during the 24-25 planting season. That, according to Farm Policy News, they say Brazil's soybean plantings may be heading in the other direction thanks to the slowest growth pace in a decade during the same time frame. Argentina's farmers are likely to plant more soybeans in this current season after last year's corn was hurt by a devastating insect plague, and future rain forecasts look more promising for soybeans. This could potentially boost the world's soybean supply, even as prices are already subdued. That's a look at the latest ag news headlines. We're out of time here today on AOA. Coming up tomorrow, we'll go over the latest meat demand monitor numbers with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State, markets with Jim McCormick from agmarket.net, and how soaring sausage sales could point to what the current economic conditions are. We're going to talk about that with Kelly Lester from the John Locke Foundation. That's all coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day, people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it.
Flo here from Progressive to tell you how you get more than great savings with us. You get customer service access through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
That's a lot of ways I can get in touch with you. I see what's going on here. You can't name favors, but I'm your number one customer.
Actually, we offer all our customers these ways to contact us.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you give just any customer your personal
company
contact info.
Well, you did call us more than any other customer this year.